I invite you to the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the 24th chapter. We've heard the resurrection gospel. Let's hear it again as Luke shares it with us this morning. Luke 24, beginning with verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of our Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with her faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with him who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. May God bless this word to our hearts, to our lives this morning, that we would not wonder what had happened, but that we would know that we know that we know that indeed Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You know what I'm wondering right now? How many people have tossed aside wonderful and amazing promises because they didn't believe that they were possible? We've gotten really good at throwing aside promises people make because we're basically very tired of empty promises. We live in a world full of empty promises. If you don't believe me, spend some time watching television this week. Look at the ads. Look at the promises. That if you buy that product, you are going to be famous. You're going to be popular. You're going to be rich. You're going to be sexy. You're going to have it all. And we know that that's just not true. It doesn't take long before we realize the promises seem to be so empty. Are you tired of empty promises? Friends who say they'll be there for you, but they're not. Kids, are you tired of promises from your parents? Parents, are you tired of promises from your kids? I'll visit. I'll do that. I'll pick it up later. But it doesn't happen. Wives, tired of promises from your husband to do that project? Employees, are you tired of hearing promises of your employer? Investors, are you tired of the broker's promise of a great dividend? Anyone tired of politicians breaking campaign promises? I want you to know something today. God's promises are different. That God gives us Easter promises. And in these Easter promises, even though they seem just too good to be true, they are true, and they are for each and every one of you personally. Instead of empty promises on Easter, God gives us an empty cross. God gives us an empty tomb. God gives us empty burial cloths that are all full of promise. On Monday, Thursday, when we were sharing in the Seder meal together, a phrase kind of jumped out at me, and it made me begin to think in relationship to God's promises. That phrase is in Luke 22, 13. And it says, just as Jesus had told them. Now listen to the context of it. Where do you want us to prepare for it? That was the question of the disciples, as Jesus was saying they were to share in a Passover meal together, but because they were somewhat itinerant and traveling around, the question was, where are we going to share the Passover meal? And Jesus replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where's the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. They then left, and they found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. That phrase, they found things just as Jesus had told them. Jesus has told them a number of things. We, the last 3 weeks, each week, we've looked in the Gospel of Mark and in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus told them that I must go to Jerusalem, that I will fulfill all that the prophecies have spoken about me, that I must suffer. I will be spit upon, I will be beaten, I will be flogged, I will be crucified, and I, on the third day, will rise from the dead. And guess what, folks? Just as Jesus had told them, it happened. He was crucified, and he rose on the third day. Now, in our text, in Luke 24, 8, it says this, then they remembered his words. Everything was just as Jesus had told them. What I want you to know this morning, Jesus' promises can be trusted. Just as Jesus had told them, it happened. As Jesus tells us this morning, and as he makes promises to us today, some 2,000 years later, know that those promises are as true today as they have ever been and will always be. Yes, the world's filled with empty promises, but I want you to clearly understand the promises that God makes to you are not empty promises. God keeps his word. So this morning, I want us to look at some of the promises of Easter. The first promise, it comes from the empty cross, for it says, your sins are forgiven. Let's go to the story of the women that first Easter morning, early. The sun hasn't risen yet, and they begin to make their way to the tomb. They need to do the anointing of the body. And so they make their way, and on their way there to the tomb, they see something. They look up at a distance. And what do they see? They see on that hill called Golgotha, the hill of the skull, the place of death, the place of crucifixions, they see three crosses. And they note that center cross, still blemished with blood. But they note something about that cross. The cross is what? It is empty. For indeed, all that Jesus said that he was to come and to do, that he would die as the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world, that just as Jesus said he would do, he did. And now the cross is empty because, in fact, he died for our sins. The day before Good Friday, written beside every one of our names in the book of life, was the word guilty. But through Jesus Christ and his death upon Calvary, now written beside our names, as we put our faith in Jesus Christ, is the word forgiven, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The first promise is seen in that empty cross, which tells us your sins are forgiven. Let's get back to our ladies. After pausing briefly to view the cross, they continue on their way down the path to the tomb. As they are on their way, one of them wonders, who's going to move the stone when we get there? It was a good question. The stone weighed close to 2 tons. The stone was put there to guard the tomb, to secure that the body of Christ would stay in its place. There was a Roman sentry put to guard the stone and the tomb. And as they were on their way, all of a sudden there was an earthquake, and I have no doubt that they paused and they kind of looked at each other wondering, what's going on? But then as things seemed to settle, they made their way on to the tomb. Now, we know that there was an angel there sitting on the stone. We know that the guards were now, they're sleeping or they're unconscious, but they're just laying there. And the angel says, don't be afraid. I know who you are looking for. You're looking for Jesus. But why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He's not here. He has risen indeed. They look and they see the tomb is empty. The second promise of Easter is seen in that empty tomb, because it tells us that death is defeated and that we in Jesus Christ, that we can have the hope of eternal life. The Bible says, for in Adam all die, but even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus' words, because I live, you shall live also. They negated death's power and they opened the door for each of us to eternal life. Many of the disciples gave their lives for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wonder if while they were suffering, while they were dying, I just wonder if they didn't ponder the very words of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. We all say there's two things we can be sure of in life. And that is death and taxes. Now, you know when your taxes are due. And so you pay them. But you do not know when you will die. But what we do know is when we do die, we will come into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And we will stand before His judgment. In the book of Revelation, the very first chapter, We know that Revelation is a vision that John, the beloved apostle, had while he was secluded on the island of Patmos. And so John has this vision, and in the midst of his vision, John sees Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, he just falls out as if he were a dead man. Take a look, if you want to, with me. Verse 12, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned and saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I were dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, now listen to the words, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Whatever we're facing, understand that Jesus' words to those who believe in him are always the same. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. And in saying I'm the first and the last, he's saying, and I hold everything in between in my hands. He's saying, I am the living one. He's saying, I will be there with you forever. He says, I hold the keys of death. He's saying, nothing is going to separate you from me, not even death. The tomb is empty, and in Jesus Christ, we have the hope of eternal life. Because I live, Jesus says, you may live also. Well, there's one more Easter promise I want you to know this morning. It's the promise of the empty burial cloths. These empty burial cloths tell us that Jesus is alive and he wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Back to our story. The angel had spoken to the women. They immediately went back to the apostles, reported what had happened. With this incredible news, we're told that Peter and John took off running. Peter outran John. Got there first, ran and looked into the tomb. Yes, the tomb was empty. But what did they see? In the emptiness of the tomb, they saw the linen cloths that had been wrapped around to prepare and to place Jesus for burial. They saw empty burial cloths. That meant one thing to them. You see, if somebody would stolen the body of Jesus, they wouldn't have unwrapped him to steal him. But no, those burial cloths lying there clearly meant to them that Jesus was alive. And that once again, they could have a relationship with Jesus. Now, their risen Savior. It wasn't too long that Jesus appeared. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the apostles. He appeared eventually to over 500 people, we're told. He sat down with them. He talked. He walked with them. He ate with some of them. Once again, they were able to fellowship with their Lord. The promise of the empty burial clothes is that a relationship with Jesus Christ, by all means, is possible. That which they had, we still this very day can have also. So I want to ask you a very important question this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about, do you just know about Jesus Christ, but do you know Him in a personal way? You can have a personal relationship with Christ. You can know His love. You can know His care. You can know His forgiveness. You can know His grace and His mercy, His healing and His wisdom. Jesus tells us, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The door of our lives, the door of our hearts. It says He stands and He knocks. And He says, for those who hear My voice and those who then invite Me to come in, He says, I will come in and I will dine with you. That word dine is a word of intimacy. It means I will come and be in an intimate relationship with you. That first Easter, as the women went to the grave, as they looked into the tomb, as Peter and John arrived and saw those burial cloths, they may not have fully understood the promises of God that were there. The promise that indeed the cross was empty, and so the sins were forgiven. The tomb was empty. There was the hope of eternal life. The burial clothes were empty. There was the possibility again of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The very promises that were for them then, they are God's promises. Yes, almost too good to believe, but they are God's promises for today. I want you to take out that welcome card and flip it over on the back. You see four different hearts on the top of that card. Each of those hearts represent a heart's desire, represent a response to the gospel and to Jesus Christ. And I'm wondering which one best resembles you. What's your heart desire? Is your heart right now saying, I need God's forgiveness? If so, listen to the promise of God. In 1 John 1:9, it tells us, if we confess our sins, Jesus will forgive our sins. You want God's forgiveness? His promise is, if you'll confess, He'll forgive. Does that represent your heart's desire? The second one is eternal life. Is your heart saying, I want to know that I have eternal life? People make it much more complicated than what it is. If you want to know that you have eternal life, listen to this promise in John 3:15. It tells us that everyone who believes in Jesus has eternal life. So if you want to know that you have eternal life, what do you need to do? Believe that Jesus lived, that He died, that He rose again. And you'll have eternal life. Believe. Is your heart telling you that you desire a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Revelation 3:20 tells us if we'll invite Jesus into our lives, He will come in. He keeps His promises. Say, Jesus, would You come and take up residency within my life? And Jesus Christ, good to His word, will come in and take up residency within your life. That's His promise. And He is good to His word. Now understand, for some of you that have been walking some time with Christ, that as you invite Him in, He comes in. But to have that intimate, personal relationship with Him throughout life, there are some things you need to do. There are some things that you have responsibility for so that that relationship might continue is an intimate relationship. And some of those disciplines are prayer and to spend time daily at the feet of Jesus in His Word. The discipline of fellowship and the discipline of worship and the discipline of service allow us to continue in that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just inviting Him in, but it's truly committing to walk with Him throughout life. Well, maybe none of those three are your heart's desire this morning. Then I want you to consider a fourth one. And that is represented by that fourth heart, to just keep seeking. Maybe you're not there yet where you're going to invite Jesus to forgive you. Maybe you're still confused by the thought of eternal life. Maybe you're a little bit scared by having an intimate relationship with Jesus, the Son of God. Then how about just making a commitment to continue to seek Jesus, to look at His Word, to seek who He is, and to examine the promises of God? How about just committing to just intellectual integrity and to say, I can't reject something I do not understand. And so I'm willing to commit this morning on this Easter day to seek out who Jesus Christ is. That was Josh McDowell's story when he came a couple weeks ago and shared with us. He said, I set out to disprove Christianity, but in my search, I found Jesus Christ to be true. I just encourage you, if you're not ready to invite Him in, are you ready to examine His claims? You see, that's okay too, because that's why we're here as a church. We're here to walk with you. We're here to help you to examine the claims of Christ. We're here to help you to have the best understanding you can of just who Jesus Christ is. And so I'm just going to ask you, if you have a yellow card, why don't you check one of those? Maybe you need to check two of them or three of them. What is your heart's desire this morning? We're going to be collecting these. And I just want you to know that if you check that last one to keep seeking, I'm personally willing to call you. And it could be a very short conversation because you don't want to talk to me. Or we could begin a process together to say, how might we seek out the claims of Christ together? So I just welcome you. Check what is your heart's desire. May it be your response this morning to the Easter promises. John 1:12 has an amazing promise. To all those who received Him, Jesus Christ, to those who believed in His name, that means believed that He lived, that He died, that He rose, they were given the right to become the children of God. And you know what it means to have the right to become the children of God? It means you have then the inheritance that God has for you. And the inheritance that God has for you is the forgiveness of your sins. So nothing can stand in the way of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. The hope of eternal life and a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That is there for those who receive and believe in Jesus. Will you receive Him? Will you this morning affirm your belief and your trust in Jesus Christ?